Welcome to About Regional, a new place for the stories of Southeast New South Wales. My name's Ian Campbell, and a shout out for those who support local storytelling. Julie Rutherford Real Estate at Bermagui, the Bega Valley Commemorative Civic Centre, and Kyle Wilderness Tours. Thanks for your support. Today's conversation is with Michael Grabb. Michael's rock balancing art stops the world dead. And in the same way that breathing just happens, your mind automatically asks, how the hell does he do that? The gallery of photos and videos on his Gravity Glue website is extraordinary. Canadian-born Michael has been on the far south coast of New South Wales over summer, bringing his brand of land art to Picnic Point and Golan Head, a magic bit of coastline between Bermagui and Tathra. His work defies gravity, at least how you and I understand gravity. But Michael seems to have an ability to tap into and read this invisible earth force, something he describes as gravity glue. Michael's been using the peace and quiet of a friend's bush studio at Bermagui to finish editing his latest film, which will be released any day now. Vision from Picnic Point will sit alongside images and sculptures he's created around the globe. Since about 2008, rock balancing has become his life, his career, his ticket to the world. Michael has balanced rocks everywhere from China to Costa Rica to Germany to Iceland to Italy, the Netherlands and beyond.
Well, I just describe myself as a professional stone balancer or just professional artist.
On behalf of my kids, are you a Jedi Knight, Michael? Is there some sort of mind power at play here? How do you do what you do?
It takes an extreme amount of focus and patience and practice to do what I do. And I just started kind of doing it naturally. The whole technical aspect evolved naturally with practice.
You seem to defy gravity, big rocks on top of little rocks, things that wouldn't naturally work. What's at play here when you're looking at rocks and trying to put them together? Can you help us understand the process you go through?
Like gravity glue is a little bit poking fun at all the people that always ask me if I'm using glue or assume that it's impossible. So kind of a part of gravity glue as a concept is something that looks as impossible as possible. Mm-hmm. and that just naturally lends itself to me attempting these ridiculously challenging structures. Some even seem impossible at first. Mm-hmm. And once I start working with it for a few hours or something like that, somehow they end up working.
Does it start with one rock? Like one rock that catches your eye, catches your imagination, you see the potential, you take it from there?
Yeah, sort of. In general, I look for a top rock first. I usually like to make the top the biggest because it just looks the most impossible, especially if everything's on tips and things like that. So usually I look for one really nice, attractive rock. Mm-hmm. And once I become attached to some kind of rock, then ideas start going off about what kind of proportions or shapes might complement that rock, and how that rock might play off mm-hmm. some other smaller rocks beneath it. That's kind of the general thing. And sometimes I'll just decide to settle in a location first, depending on what kind of inspiration I feel. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'll look around and try to find a rock in that spot because I really want to somehow photograph that spot.
Is there a state of mind you need to get into to do what you do, to be able to shut everything out and focus on the job?
Well, the mind needs to be relaxed to balance rocks. That's kind of why I go out in nature and away from kind of the busy aspect of mm-hmm. city life. Just being in nature has a way of tuning the brain into a certain frequency in a way. A big part of the whole thing is kind of the meditative aspect. Mm-hmm. Just by balancing rocks, it triggers kind of this meditative part of it. Which, to me, is the powerful thing about it, is it just naturally entrances the practitioner mm-hmm. somehow.
Each rock is different. As you pick up a rock, are you looking for, it'll balance on that face, it'll balance on that surface, that's the way to position the rock. Are there technical specs in a rock that you look for as well?
Well, first and foremost, I usually look for the right shape mm-hmm. or just some kind of appealing shape, especially for the top rock. That's kind of the biggest characteristic that I play with is the shape of the top rock. Not only the shape, but the tip that it has to sit on to present the right kind of energy from the rock. So not only does it have to have the right shape, it has to have the right tip to display that shape the way I want it.
Is there a point you're trying to make, a message you try to get across with this stuff? I know when I see your work, it does sort of pull you up, makes you stop, makes you slow down. Is that what you're wanting your audience to experience? What do you want your audience to take from this?
A big reason I like to do it is because it triggers people somehow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure how. I feel like the meditative aspect can be transmitted through viewing mm-hmm. these things. I've also liked to make an analogy between Reiki. Stone balancing can almost be looked at as a three-dimensional Reiki in a way, mm-hmm. just with the way the rocks are oriented and the shapes that happen, and also just kind of this almost like a sentient energy that's created mm-hmm. when you see this impossibly balanced thing that shouldn't be there. It just makes people stop mm-hmm. and breathe, and it almost shuts off their mind, which is, I think, a powerful thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And also some, like, a lot of people live in a city and their daily life consists of all these things moving in so mm-hmm. many different directions. And to see something so still, so impossible looking, is very alien mm-hmm. to most people. So it just naturally attracts the human brain.
You've talked about energy a couple of times and mentioned Reiki there. That's the way I understand Reiki, some sort of energy that comes from the world around us. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that energy in rocks? You feel that energy, almost a Jedi energy, in the world around us, in the natural world?
Absolutely. I mean, everything is energy. And stones are kind of the most ancient, tangible packets of energy yeah. that we still have. Just each one, all the history involved in making that specific rock mm-hmm. is something we can't even fathom time-wise. I don't know, just all of that contributes to the energy mm-hmm. that it gives off, in my opinion.
Are you happy to work with any rocks, or do you like some rocks in particular? Do you like rocks that come out of an ancient riverbed more so than rocks that come out of an extinct volcano? Do you have any particular sort of rocks you like to work with?
Well, when I began, it was in Boulder Creek, Colorado, USA. Most of the rocks there are different types of granite. Mm-hmm. So granite is generally a very hard rock, so it's quite desirable to work with for balancing, because you're always making these adjustments. So you want the rock to be as hard as possible so it is not degraded by doing any of these small adjustments. Mm-hmm. So the harder, the better, in general. And also granite has a lot of funky colors yeah. that can come with it. Well, I definitely have a preference for curves as well. Just like curvy rocks mm-hmm. and round rocks appeal to me more. Mm-hmm. Because when they're balanced also, they just look that much more precarious and impossible. I also have come to appreciate the local geology wherever I go. Yeah. Like, it's so diverse. Mm-hmm. Even on this small stretch of coast, I've found beaches that are completely alien yeah. to every other beach around yeah. it. I never imagined when I began this that there would be so much diversity of rocks everywhere, from not only country to country, but from coastline to coastline and even from beach to beach and creek to creek. Like, even within Boulder, Colorado, there are a few creeks that run through there, and they each have a very distinct family of rocks. Mm-hmm. And even Boulder Creek itself had, like, different pockets that had different families. Yeah. And the same thing is true here with the beaches.
Am I right in saying that once you build a sculpture, a piece of work, you take it down? Is that the final piece?
Yeah, I generally remove my work when I'm finished. Mm-hmm. Part of it is so other photographers don't come and, like, take photos okay. and sell yeah. the photos and yep. things like that, which has happened. But another thing, too, a more important thing, is just safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Depending on the area, like on beaches here that are deserted from tourists and things like that, I'll usually just leave it up when I leave at sunset and then try to come back to shoot it at sunrise. Mm-hmm. And it's probably still standing at sunrise maybe 5% of the time.
Yeah.
But the gamble is worth it, because if it's an amazing sunrise and it's still up, then it turns into this amazing photograph. Yeah. But generally, I'll spend anywhere from 1 to 3 days on a single creation or kind of creative flow. Once I feel content with my photography and filming of it, which could happen the first day, or it may take mm-hmm. 3 days to realize or something like that. But as long as I am content with that aspect and documentation, then I'll remove it and probably never come back there again.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like when you talk about removing it, it sounds like you're piece by piece. You're not just pushing it over.
Well, sometimes I just go all out and throw a rock at it. And other times, like depending on the environment too, some places are more sensitive than others. And I don't want to damage things around it. Mm-hmm. So in those kind of situations, I will take it apart carefully, piece by piece. Yep. And sometimes I'll throw those rocks into the ocean so they'll never be found again.
Yeah.
Ideally, I like to just record it falling naturally from the wind.
You mentioned that this started for you in Boulder Creek. How old were you? How did it start?
It happened after I finished college. Mm-hmm. Boulder was where I went to school for sociology. At the time, I was just kind of working a dead-end job, managing a shipping warehouse, just kind of one of those monotonous things that I really didn't like. So in my spare time, I would hang out at the creek because it was a nice place to hang out on hot afternoons.
Yeah.
It has tons of rocks everywhere, so I was hanging with a friend one day and just started looking for rocks and moving them around, and ended up having a very profound experience to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped bring me into the initial meditative state mm-hmm. to make me so receptive to the activity.
Yep.
But also made it an extremely meaningful use of my time.
Yeah.
So
it feels like a gift to you? It feels like you have a gift for this?
It definitely found me.
Yeah.
It happened very serendipitously and unexpected and unassuming completely. And I started it in 2008, and 4 years later, it took over my life enough to where it felt necessary to quit my job. I became absolutely obsessed with it.
Is there a pub where professional rock balancers get together? Who else does this? Are you the only one that does this? Are other people doing this?
No, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people around the world mm-hmm. that balance rocks. I would say there's less people that do it to the same technical degree.
Mm-hmm.
But the global community is huge mm-hmm. and thriving and growing seemingly exponentially. And a bit of that I kind of attribute to my own work being able to reach kind of almost a viral status mm-hmm. on the internet and social media. Like, it's really helped kind of connect and network all these people around the world. To a degree that hasn't been seen really before that.
Yeah. Is it something you've had to fight for? I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but you've made this yourself in a way and carved out this niche for yourself in a way. Is it something that you've had to, I guess, fight for, justify with friends, family, that this is real, this is serious, this is who I am?
Yeah, I guess it has involved a bit of a fight because it's so against the grain of what our society accepts as normal. Especially with my work being shared on the internet and everything, there's just tons of trolls everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And like, so many people just kind of pass off the activity as a waste of time
mm-hmm.
or some kind of dirty hippie activity or something. I don't know. But to me, it's just been what I felt necessary mm-hmm. to do. And I didn't really let anyone stop me. I just did exactly what I mm-hmm. felt like I wanted to do.
Yep.
And that was a very transformative part in myself, in my own evolution as well, is just realizing that anything is possible. I mean, that can sound a bit hocus pocus to a lot of people. But when I first started doing this, I had absolutely no idea that it was capable of becoming my life. I didn't even think of it or myself as an artist at the time. I just was doing it.
Do you feel this this gift, this energy, this skill at play in other aspects of your life when you're not balancing rocks, when you're just going about your day-to-day business? Do you feel it influencing your life in other aspects?
Well, my life kind of revolves around the rocks in a way, mm-hmm. or like that need to go out and create. As for balancing as a practice, like a yoga type of practice, I'd say after 10 years of practice, I consider it a transformative activity. Mm-hmm. Like it really gets the practitioner thinking in terms of what's possible versus what are my limits. I think a lot of people, including myself, before I started doing this, I really looked at a lot of circumstances in terms of what was holding me back, mm-hmm. or like what limitations I had that I couldn't go over, or just all these rules and regulations of everything. And this practice really helped break down a lot of those conventional ways of thinking and instead turned it into what can I create. It's just gotten me thinking about the world in terms of possibility. Mm-hmm. Like if I want to do something, of course I can do it. I just have to find a way.
You talked about rock balancing there as sort of a daily yoga practice. Is that how other people use this as well? You use it for art. It's your life, but are there? It can be used in another way, in that sort of more yoga health focus.
It's definitely applicable for academic and therapeutic type of application. Like for me, it started out as a therapeutic mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Just to relax me from a job I didn't like.
Yeah, and yeah.
To use my spare time in a way I thought was productive. Mm-hmm. Like before I started doing this, I mentioned like I looked at the world in terms of limitations. It's totally transformed that into like this kind of expanded view of what I can possibly do. Yeah. So in that sense, it has a lot of potential to help people. Mm-hmm. And I think it could also be a very useful thing to introduce to children as mm-hmm. well. Because it has a very clever way of getting the person to focus. It kind of tricks their mind into focusing really hard.
You've talked a couple of times about how your art practice has, I guess, opened your mind up to anything, the possibilities that you can do anything, that there are no limits. Where does this lead you to next? How far ahead are you looking? What are you planning for next?
Oh, well, I'm not really planning for anything next. That's part of this whole thing, too. Like, I would consider it not only a therapeutic practice, not only a yoga-style practice, but also just in general a Zen practice. Mm-hmm. And just the art of living now, which is by nature free from expectations. Like, you just have to flow with it. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to the world around you mm-hmm. and just kind of join the dance, you know? And as soon as I start focusing on a specific goal, like, I never know what I'm going to build before I get to a beach. Mm-hmm. So, like, the materials themselves dictate the mm-hmm. form. So, like, with what I want to do in the future, it's I just kind of look at it as I'm going to wake up tomorrow and have some coffee and figure out what I'm going to do with the day.
Professional rock balancer Michael Grabb speaking to me at Bermagui on the New South Wales far south coast. Michael's latest short film will be out any day now. You can explore his amazing work at the Gravity Glue website. This is About Regional, a new place for the stories of the Bega Valley, Yorubadella and Snowy Monaro. Thanks for tuning in. You'll find more local stories and my contact details at the About Regional website and Facebook page. My name's Ian Campbell. See you out and about in southeast New South Wales.